friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and happy holidays. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Qatar, where European champion Liverpool of England will play South American champion Flamengo of Brazil in Saturday's FIFA Club World Cup football final. One of the stars who will be on the pitch for Liverpool is Mo Salah, Egypt's two-time African Footballer of the Year. We'll hear from Salah in this report from VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Some soccer fans who were gathered in Qatar ahead of Wednesday's semifinal match had two things on their minds: the spectacular Khalifa International Stadium and Liverpool.
Liverpool!
I think it's going to be really good. Really good. Everything's set up. It's perfect to get to. It's going to be really good down here.
Stadiums look really good.
Yeah, can't wait to get in, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and a lot of Liverpool fans from all over.
There are. There was a few on our flights yesterday, and see a few now. So it should be a good game.
I mean, all the facilities look top-notch.
Everything's state-of-the-art here, and everyone's turned out for this game. Whether they support Liverpool or not, Liverpool are big time.
And on Wednesday, Liverpool played a big game against Monterrey thanks to an early goal by Guinean midfielder Naby Keita and a stoppage-time game winner by Brazilian forward Roberto Firmino. Afterwards, manager Jurgen Klopp said he was relieved Firmino kept his side from going into extra time.
I was actually afraid of the extra time, to be honest. So I was more than happy when Bobby scored that goal. So we had to do a few changes because we had no other options. But we wanted to do for the lineup some other changes. So it means we left Friend out, obviously. We left Bobby out and Sadio out. So that gives you then the opportunity when the game is not decided to make the decision, actually. And that Bobby scored the goal is just wonderful. He came on and was immediate in the game. So a really good situation. Pass from Mo, maybe not clear enough, but he helped us a lot. Sadio with his power and all that stuff. Trent, immediate dangerous crosses. So it helped. But staying on track is part of our game. I don't think you for sure cannot plan it, a goal like this. You should not think it's impossible. So that's the only thing, and it was really super, super goal.
Egyptian star Mohamed Salah played an exquisite through-ball assist to Keita in Liverpool's opening goal and played an integral role in their win. And afterwards, Salah said the victory was hard-fought.
I think it was a tough game. They were very aggressive against us, and, you know, all of us were caring about our legs, and they were really aggressive, and I think the referee doesn't protect us too much, but I'm not here to complain about it. But I think in the end we show our quality and we won in the last minute, so I think we deserve it.
And going back to those fans, Salah said they sounded very familiar.
I think all the stadium today was Egyptian. I can hear that today. And, you know, when you feel support, Egyptian support everywhere, I feel happy about that. And, you know, I always feel love when they call my name, or I feel support from them. So I'm happy to hear that from them.
And Mo Salah and his teammates will be hearing from those fans again in their final match against Brazilian champions Flamengo. And Jurgen Klopp says the Reds need to rest and recover in time for Saturday's game.
We have now to collect our bones. I don't, in that moment, don't know exactly who will be ready for the next game, so we will see. It looks, I saw the bench of Monterrey, there were like 10, 15 players on it. I don't know, I'm not sure. Probably Flamengo season is over. They are here with the full squad pretty much as well. So we have just to recover as quick as possible and then to make ourselves ready. So, but we saw Flamengo, of course, in the other semi-final, and it was an open game for a long period. Yeah? So we will see who deals better with the circumstances, who has more right decisions, that's about. But of course they are, with Jorge Jesus as a manager, of course, as European influence, or Portuguese influence at least, And that's it. But the players itself have already quality. So if there would not be an European coach, it would be already difficult. With Jorge Jesus, very, very experienced, very successful in Portugal and now in Brazil as well. So, we have a lot of respect for that. But at the end, we will try our best and we'll see how it will work out.
Flamengo won the title in 1981 when they defeated none other than Liverpool in the Intercontinental Cup tournament. But a win on Saturday would be the first Club World Cup title for manager Jorge Jesus. And ahead of the match, he said winning the trophy would be an honor. Jesus says his side has achieved a high level of performance and ability to reach the Club World Cup finals. And he says Saturday's match will be one of the most important games in his professional career. Liverpool is vying for its first ever Club World Cup title. But Jurgen Klopp pointed out their tournament appearance is not to show European club soccer's dominance over the rest of the world.
Why should we think that European football is... stands overall or whatever. So, but still, one game is not enough. You cannot judge a player after one game, and you cannot judge a team after one game. We had sensational football moments with Naby and Mo, especially when we passed the ball through. So, we did what we had to do, but we are not here to show that Europe is stronger than North America or Mexico or whatever. We just wanted to win the game, and all the rest, other people have to judge.
Well, we are one day away from finding out who will win this year's Club World Cup title. The match between Liverpool and Flamengo in the very impressive-looking Khalifa International Stadium will be played on Saturday. And that is all from me for today and for the week. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Gwen, and you enjoy your weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to Kampala, where the Ugandan Cranes defeated Eritrea's Red Sea Boys 3-0 to lift the CECAFA Cup trophy for a record 15th time. Magume Davis Rakawinge filed this report from Kampala, Uganda.
Uganda and Eritrea fans sound vuvuzelas in support of their national teams. Uganda's Brighton Okani scored in the first half to the delight of home fans. But the Eritreans soldiered on, looking for equalizer with no success. In the second half, the Eritreans considered two late goals for the game to end 3-0. Uganda team captain Halidi Lwaliwa guided the Uganda Cranes to win all their games and route to the championship.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's my first trophy of SCAFA, and I'm new in the team, and okay, it has encouraged me so much, and I still am going to work hard, coach. I have to work hard and lead the team to the CHAN. We winning the SCAFA is a good message to the opponents that we're going to face in CHAN. It's a good message to them that we are serious, we are strong, and we can win also.
Jonathan McKinstry, Uganda Cranes coach, was pleased with the performance of his young players.
It's a great way to finish the year. Obviously, you know, since me and the new technical staff came in to work with the team, it's about 3 months now, we're pleased because the players are taking on board what we're working on in training. It's not just getting performances, but that's being translated into results.
Eritrean fan Tequila Musikana was among hundreds who came to support his national team. He praised his team for reaching the finals for their first time. Musikana described it as a golden opportunity.
Because we have never been on this stage. So this is wonderful for us. So that's why we all Eritreans came together and we are supporting our team. These Ugandans, they have a good experience, okay? But for us, it is new. A new team. They are youngsters. It is our first experience.
Kenya beat Tanzania 2-1 to claim the third place. Kenya defender Samuel Ouma cited fatigue for failure to defend the championship they won in 2017.
I can say that it's a good tournament. It showcases talents and it's really shown that teams are really working hard and they are improving. Like I've said, Eritrea, they have surprised many people and they have reached the finals, and it's good for East African football.
Clifford Mariandimbo is the spokesperson for the Tanzania Football Association. He said Tanzania players acquired fitness levels and experience that will be vital when they participate at Cameroon CHAN finals early next year.
We see the competitive tournament, and this is good for the preparation of CHAN, for the technical benches, for the players. Yep, so what I can say, the good tournament.
Zanzibar, Tanzania, Somalia, Sudan, Burundi, Kenya, Eritrea, Djibouti, as well as hosts Uganda, are the 9 countries that participated in this year's SEKAFA Senior Challenge Cup. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
The media officer of Nigeria's national football team says he gives the Super Eagles high marks for their performances this year. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Toyin Ibitoye had this to say.
My assessment of the Super Eagles in the year 2019, it was a very good year for us. Of course, you know, the highlight of 2019 was the Africa Cup of Nations in Egypt. For the first time, 24 teams participated, and the Super Eagles were able to finish in the top three. Of course, we also started the qualifiers for the 2021 AFCON, and we've had 2 games, 2 victories. We had a number of good friendlies against Brazil, against Ukraine. So 2019 was a good year. Our team improved a lot, and we moved up in the FIFA rankings. So yes, 2019 was a good year. We're looking forward to 2020 being a better year.
What are the major challenges for the team for the year 2020?
Yeah, 2020 is going to be a more challenging year because the World Cup qualifiers will start in the first quarter of the year. And of course, we'll also have the conclusion of the qualifiers for the 2021. So it's going to be a tough year. It's a year where we need to focus, avoid distractions, continue to work hard, show commitment and hunger, and continue to improve ourselves. So we're looking forward to a tough year. It's not going to be easy. Everybody wants to go to the World Cup. Everybody wants to go to the Nations Cup. So we cannot take anybody for granted. A lot of teams in Africa have improved. So we have to keep improving. We have to keep fighting. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep getting better so that we can look back at the end of 2020 and say, yes, it has been a good year.
Are there likely going to be new faces in the Super Eagles in 2020?
Well, it's a possibility because no team is perfect. A team is constantly improving, and that means once you discover a player who can bring something extra, who can bring some more quality into the team, some more competitiveness into the team, they will always be welcome. So our team is constantly improving, and that is why there is always space for a good player in the team. So if we discover a new player who is good, who brings a lot of quality to the team, like we've had the Aribos of this world coming to the team, like Joshua Maja is doing presently in Bodo, they will always be welcome into the team. So yes, you cannot rule out new faces. The team is constantly improving, it's constantly getting better, and we will always have to open our doors once we discover that there are players who can bring something extra to the team.
What message do you have for Nigerians on Super Eagles in the new year?
Well, my message to our fans in the year 2020, in the new year, is for them to keep supporting us. It's for them to keep giving us their goodwill, their prayers. Get behind the team. Encourage the team. We know it's not all the time. You cannot win all your games, but we will do all that we can to make sure we always do well and make them proud anytime we play. So we're happy with what they've done for us so far, with the quality of support we have received from them so far, but it can always get better. So we thank them for the support of so many years. There is still a lot to come, and we believe that together with the fans and the support they've shown us, and the hard work of the coaches, the support and the hard work, the commitment, the Eagles will keep getting better, and they will make us proud. So we need their support, and we pray and continue to say thank you to them for all that they've done for us.
That's Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer of Nigeria's national football team, the Super Eagles. And Toyin spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Toyin Ibitoye, the media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The National Basketball Association's top two teams met Thursday night in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's where Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks beat LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers by 7 points. We'll hear from Giannis and LeBron now in this report by the AP's Chuck Freeman in Milwaukee.
The Bucks used a 42-point second quarter to outlast the Lakers 111-104. The Bucks pulled out to a 19-point halftime lead led by Giannis Antetokounmpo, who had a career-high 5 three-pointers in his 34-point night. Antetokounmpo says he's not going to read too much into a win over the Lakers.
Nobody's going to remember about this regular season game. You know, our focus is to take it, you know, step by step, game by game, get better, improve as a team. You know, our goal was not to lose two in a row, and that's what we did. It wasn't who we were playing. We were playing the Lakers.
The Lakers turned the ball over 10 times in the second quarter, had 19 for the game. George Hill added 21 off the bench for the Bucks. Anthony Davis had 36 for the Lakers. LeBron James had 21.
Take away the second quarter. You know, we played an exceptional game, you know, especially being at the end of a road trip. But it's a really good team, well coached. They play exceptional basketball. And, you know, that second quarter, you know, pretty much got us.
The Bucks improved to 25-4, the Lakers 24-5. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. The new Basketball Africa League, or BAL, has unveiled its official logo in Kigali, Rwanda. The 12-team league is scheduled to begin its inaugural season in March 2020. The logo features a silhouette of a basketball player taking a jump shot on a vibrant green, yellow, red, and royal blue background. BAL officials say the logo celebrates the Pan-African footprint of the league, Africa's diversity, and the continent's rich basketball heritage. Among those on hand for the ceremony in Kigali were Rwanda's president, Paul Kagame, BAL president, Amadou Galofal, and two-time NBA All-Star, Luol Deng, who retired just before this season tipped off. Here in Washington, one of the city's big sports stories this year was the Washington Nationals winning their first World Series baseball title. The championship set off celebrations here in the nation's capital. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2019, VOA's Jim Stevenson tells us more.
I'm feeling great! I lost my voice on Wednesday. It hasn't come back since. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. We won the World Series, baby!
Baseball fans in Washington had a lot to celebrate as the city threw a parade for the Washington Nationals after the Major League Baseball team shocked the Houston Astros to win Game 7 of the World Series.
Look how happy everybody is. It just brings a city that has lots of controversy to be all as one and be happy for something that everybody is happy for.
Once you meet people who are fans, they just open up their hearts to you and you just feel like family.
Nationals general manager Mike Rizzo says the players and the fans never gave up.
They earned it, man. The fan base of this town, they stuck with us through bad and good, and I couldn't be happier to bring that trophy home and show it in front of all these people.
The team didn't have to travel far to visit the White House.
For the first time in nearly 100 years, our nation's capital is celebrating a World Series victory. That's big stuff.
It was all possible with an improbable Game 7 victory. One of five elimination games the wild card Washington Nationals faced, all won as comeback wins. It was part of a season manager Dave Martinez became used to.
This year, I can honestly say nothing would have surprised me. I mean, from where we started, some of our traveling woos, I mean, you name it. We've been through a lot. But like I said before, these guys, we stuck together, you know. They believed in each other. I believed in them.
In working their way from the worst record in baseball to the championship, Martinez kept his players focused on just winning the game they faced on any given day. He says that didn't change when the game meant a title.
I told him, you know, before the game, I said, hey, I want you guys to just treat this as just another game. It's game 184, which is hard to do. I said, but we made it this far. Just play one more game, you know, one more 1-0, and they did that tonight.
Pitching ace Max Scherzer threw for Washington in Game 7, and while he wasn't at his best, Martinez was happy.
His location wasn't as crisp as it wanted to be. He fought through some unbelievable innings, and he kept us in the ball game. That's all we can ask for Max. I mean, he had 102 pitches. He came in and wanted to stay. He said, hey, I'll give you another inning if you need me. And I said, Max, you did a great job. You kept us in the ball game. We'll get this. We'll figure it out. We're going to win this game. So, but what a fantastic job he did.
Games 2 and 6 winning pitcher Steven Strasburg was named the series' most valuable player to add to his 3 other postseason victories.
In this game, it's very hard to be perfect. It's very hard to control things. But the one thing that you can control is your approach and how you handle your business off the field. And when you go out there and compete, it's just about execution. And you put in all the work in the off season, in between starts, to go out there and try and be the best version of yourself.
In the 7th inning, Washington bats came alive just enough to take the lead on a weak hit by Howie Kendrick that just stayed inside the foul pole to count as a home run.
All the fans were standing up for most of the game, and you know, I just kind of had a feeling that it was going to get real quiet in that inning, and you know, it did. And you know, Howie's been big for us all year, and you know, go out there and hit another homer, especially after the big grand slam and NLDS. It's just amazing to watch.
So many little details added up for Washington, including the first time ever in the 115-year history of the World Series where each team won on the opposing team's home field. Houston had the best record at home this season. Was that hard to believe for Astros manager A.J. Hinch?
I mean, it's not that hard for me. I mean, I just live it. So it's the Nats are really good. Congratulations to them. You know, Riz and Davey and the coaching staff, the players. I mean, this is about the Nationals. So this isn't about not performing at home or anything that we didn't do. I come away incredibly impressed by the team that we played and got beat by.
Houston won the World Series 2 years ago, and Hinch says this year ranks as a great season as well.
And let's be honest, there's 28 other teams that would love to have our misery today. You know, these teams, we play to get here. We play to have an opportunity to win it all, and it's impossible to call a season in which you reach Game 7 of the World Series and have the lead going into the 7th inning as not good. I mean, it was an incredible season for us. It feels really bad. This is going to sting for a really long time, and it should.
And so the World Series glory belongs to the Washington Nationals. And for outfielder Juan Soto, it's shared by the fans, who virtually all had never seen a baseball championship in Washington.
You guys have been amazing. You guys have been right there for us, cheering in the left field, center field, right field. All the crowd, amazing. I love you guys.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America.
And that wraps up the December 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondette. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back.
get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Researchers led by Binghamton University in Upper New York State is reporting that they have discovered the remains of the oldest forest in Earth's history. The scientists say their discovery provides evidence that the transition from ancient to modern forests began earlier than thought. What the research team found while going through ancient soil near Cairo, New York, were the remnants of an extensive root system of 385 million-year-old trees. This discovery is said to predate the fossil forest at nearby Gilboa, New York, which formerly held the title of world's oldest forest. The researchers say they found three different tree species within the ancient widespread root system. While seed-bearing plants didn't emerge until some 10 million years later, the trees forming the ancient root system had qualities similar to modern seed plants. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Nana Akunedo Ajemani Rawlings, the former First Lady of Ghana, reflects on the importance of empowering others and using public office to serve Ghanaian citizens. Nana Akunedo Ajemani Rawlings on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA News.